to Read with Laura Joy. I'm Laura Joy Lloyd, your host and author of the stories we read here. This is interactive, serialized fiction. There is always more to the story, and readers influence what happens next. Welcome to episode number 70. We'll be reading from the Wren Island series, part 6, scene 63. Previously on Wren Island, following a visit to the mainland hospital, the entire family checked in at a nearby hotel. Allison booked the VIP suite. Actually, Allison booked the entire VIP floor. Then, exhausted, they all went to bed. The next day, everyone was up, ready to head home to Wren. Everyone but Allison. While waiting for Allison to wake up, Shasta, Amelia, Macy, and Virgil entertained themselves by ordering room service, telling jokes, watching the Dick Van Dyke Show, shopping, Shasta, and working out at the gym, Virgil, multiple times. Allison slept long enough to alarm everyone. They called her doctor's office. Let her sleep, the nurse said. It's best if she wakes up quietly on her own. They were told to call back if Allison wasn't up by noon the next day. Now we'll find out what happens that morning when everyone's hoping Allison will wake up quietly on her own by noon. We'll read for about 8.5 minutes. Afterward, stick around to find out how comments from readers of an early draft of this scene directly influenced how the final scene turned out. Here we go. The Wren Island Series by Laura Joy Lloyd, Part 6, Scene 63. That morning, Virgil returned from hitting the gym again, looking real perky, until he realized Allison still wasn't up. By the time he'd showered, he'd come up with an idea. Dr. Sullivan said it was best for Allison to wake up quietly on her own, right? It's almost noon. What if we nudge her along a bit? Virgil rummaged through the kitchen and held up a bag of coffee beans. I doubt anyone can sleep through the smell of strong coffee and frying bacon. Oh, could we have croissants with grape jelly, too? Amelia bumped Lobster Benedict to a lower position on her list of nice things to wish for. Virgil took off for the 24-hour mart. Macy and Shasta emerged from their rooms and Amelia filled them in on the plan. Virgil returned with fresh croissants, grape jelly, and maple-cured bacon. He started the coffee first. But when he went to fry the bacon, the stove burners wouldn't turn on. No power to the oven, either. He checked everything was plugged in, checked this, checked that, nothing. He poked at the microwave. It'd make the bacon soggy, right? Or too chewy. He stood in the kitchen and drummed his fingers on the countertop. Amelia propped her chin on her good hand and sighed. It would have been so nice for Allison to wake up to the smell of frying bacon and coffee. Virgil eyed the toaster. He tapped out loose crumbs, positioned the appliance on the counter, studied it. I think I remember a buddy in college talking about cooking bacon in a toaster. Amelia sat up. Drop the strips in like slices of bread. Crank up the dial to the highest setting, probably. He popped bacon into each slot and pushed down the lever. It might have turned out okay, maybe, except all four of them got distracted when Shasta turned up the television volume for an infomercial about a sticky substance useful for anything from tacking up posters to making your boat watertight. Nobody watching the toaster. Next thing you know, there were flames in the kitchen and the fire alarm was going off. The alarm wasn't little beeps like the smoke detectors at Allison's house. This alarm sounded like a fire engine's horn blaring over and over. Plus, a bright white light above every door flashed on and off. Amelia covered her ears. Virgil put the fire out just as there was a pounding on the glass door to their private lobby. Macy slid open the doors to reveal the concierge. Everybody out! Virgil pointed to the toaster. It's my fault. Sorry. The concierge peered at the charred appliance. Never had one of those do that before. He put bacon in it, Shasta breezed past on her way to Allison's bedroom. You put bacon in a toaster? The concierge started to scoff, then registered Virgil's bruised face and stepped back. Sorry, pal, but hotel regulations say everyone's got to evacuate. Use the stairs, no elevator. Virgil tried to reason with the concierge. Macy and Shasta emerged with Allison, who was still wearing the hotel's shorts and t-shirt and was so sleepy and confused she could hardly balance on her crutches. Virgil took one look at Allison and erupted at the concierge. She shouldn't have to take the stairs. Requesting additional help on the VIP floor, the concierge spoke into a walkie-talkie, then clipped it to his waistband. He motioned to the stairwell door. Sir, if you and your party would please come with me. Down the stairs they went in a roundabout mess, all of them helping each other except Virgil, who helped Allison. Outside, they blinked in the sunshine with other hotel guests and employees. Allison tied the fancy peacock bathrobe around herself and sank into a folding chair someone offered. What time is it? 11:12 a.m., a firefighter handed her a blanket. Fun way to spend a Saturday morning, Allison yawned. The fireman stilled, studying her. Today's Monday. Really? Wow. Narrowing his eyes, the fireman turned his attention to Virgil, who'd cornered the hotel manager. Every time Virgil punctuated a point, his bruised face flashed. Then the fireman scrutinized Amelia's splinted wrist, which reminded her she was supposed to be keeping it raised above her heart. She did so, smiling, as if she were saying hello, except she didn't wave. Finally, the fireman crouched in front of Allison. Miss, have you been threatened recently? Allison sighed and rolled her eyes. Have I ever? But it's all right now, thanks to you guys. Law enforcement, first responders and all, thank you. Okay, listen, this is important. Will you be pressing charges? You bet I will. I hope the others will too. Aunt Amelia, keep your wrist elevated. The fireman stood then, all purposeful, and motioned to the chief. So it really was good timing that Nancy arrived when she did. After that, Allison became a kind of sensation. Not only was she recently a victim of one of the FBI's most wanted, she'd also helped capture the suspect. Add to that the rumor Allison had slugged, hard enough to produce all that bruising, the dude with long black hair who'd nearly sent the hotel up in flames. She was staying in the hotel's VIP suite. She'd booked the entire floor and was wearing what might be the fanciest bathrobe in the city. It was too much for anyone to ignore. And since Amelia was standing right next to Allison, it was almost as if all those firefighters were admiring her, too. If she'd known how fun it would be, she would have added it to her list of nice things to wish for. Maybe she should start a new list. Nice things that happened unexpectedly. Once the chief was certain Virgil's misuse of the toaster was the only reason for the alarm, everyone was given the all clear. Allison yawned, stood with Virgil's help, then poked him. All systems go, finally. No thanks to you. They used the elevator back to their suite. They got recheck appointments for Allison and Macy. They ate a late lunch at a restaurant because Allison said Virgil should steer clear of kitchens for a while. It was burgers all around, except for Virgil, who drank a berry smoothie because his jaw couldn't handle a burger yet. They loaded onto Ralph's boat and headed back to Wren with everyone in a good mood. A jovial mood is how she would describe it if she were narrating a video. Like when Allison teased Virgil, "You're not going to be allowed near my toaster anytime soon." And Virgil smiled, all casual. "Forget the toaster. Things are hot enough on Wren already. Oh, by the way, when will you be wearing that peacock robe again?" Allison whacked Virgil on the arm. Undaunted, Virgil leaned close and whispered in her ear. "Keep it G-rated, kids," Shasta grinned. "Your little aunties are watching." And everyone smiled at Amelia, because she was the only little auntie they were keeping life, certainly romance, G-rated for. When they reached the house, the others went inside, but Amelia stopped at the concrete lions. She patted one head, then the other. A matched pair, taking on the world together, never to be separated. Inside, she checked on Miss Kitty and Marshal Matt Dillon. Two birds, happily twittering, together. She patted the dogs, one, two, both at once, until they wandered off, together. Then she went upstairs, alone. climbed into bed, alone. And when the tears came, she decided today it was perfectly okay to cry for no particular reason at all. We just read from the Wren Island series, Part 6, Scene 63. While I was writing this scene, I shared an early draft with a couple of writer friends. They both said Amelia absolutely tugged at their heartstrings at the end of this scene, and they'd like to know more about her background. They also said they were having a hard time picturing responsible Virgil doing something as ridiculous as trying to cook bacon in a toaster. So I tweaked the passage a bit. I added a comment from Amelia that I knew would make it really hard for Virgil to let go of his bacon in the toaster idea. The line I added is, Amelia propped her chin on her good hand and sighed. It would have been so nice for Allison to wake up to the smell of frying bacon and coffee. With the way Amelia tugs at everyone's heartstrings, I figured Virgil would find it nearly impossible to resist going forward with the toaster idea, because not only would he be doing something nice for Allison, he'd also be making Amelia happy. In the next episode, we'll see our Wren friends settling into life again. We'll see Allison thinking about her songwriting efforts from a different angle. We'll be there when our Wren friends rehash the drama of all that happened that awful night Hack came back. And Allison will finally learn the answer to a question she's been asking throughout the entire series. As always, much of what happens in the next episode was directly influenced by readers. If this was your first visit to Wren Island and you'd like to find out what happened before you arrived, you'll find links in the show notes to listen to a recap episode or listen to the series from the very beginning. And if you'd like to know what's happening right now on Wren Island, subscribe to receive my emails. You'll get the current ebook of the Wren Island series. You'll also start getting behind-the-scenes peeks at the developing story, and you'll start hearing about opportunities to actually influence what happens next. This is interactive, serialized fiction. There is always more to the story, and readers influence what happens next. Thanks for reading with me.